It is now 27 minutes to nine. The Pope is worried about what's happening to Christians in the Middle East, and he's hardly alone. Vast numbers of them have been forced to leave their homes that their ancestors have lived in for generations, if not centuries, because of persecution, mostly by Islamic extremists. The Pope has called on world leaders to help them. The Anglican Church has echoed that. The former Bishop of Rochester, the Right Reverend Dr. Michael Nazir Ali, says the international community needs to do more to protect Christians and other non-Muslim groups in the Middle East.
A pessimism about the future of Christians in Iraq and Syria and indeed other non-Muslims is entirely understandable in the circumstances, but we must not allow radical Islamists to remake the face of the Middle East in their own image. And if the situation means that this is the end of Christianity in Iraq, then they will have won their battle. There are many different ways of securing a future for Christians and other non-Muslims in Iraq and Syria. And if the international community has a will, then some protection can be provided for such minorities.
That was Bishop Nazir Ali. Well, I'm joined on the line by Emma Loseley, who is the Professor of Middle Eastern Christianity at Exeter University, and by Canon Andrew White. We've heard him many times on this programme, of course. He's a very brave vicar of Baghdad who spends most of his time there. And Andrew, give us an idea of what is happening to Christians in Iraq as we speak.
Well, literally, as we speak, Christians are disappearing. Those who can have fled to Mosul, to Erbil, where they are finding a relative degree of security after fleeing their homes in Nineveh. But it is so difficult. The other day I was in Jordan, in Amman, and at one of the churches there on Tuesday night, not Sunday, there were 1,500 Iraqi Christians. Mm. They were the people who had managed to flee. And so we are trying desperately to provide food and mattresses and clothing for our people in Iraq. And we have asked them, what do you need? What can we get you? And they, do you know what their answers were? Half of them said, we want to die. We've got no future. And the others said, we want a Christmas tree. And so between Christmas trees and death, we have to be able to give them hope. So what we have recently been buying this week in all of our relief products, we have bought chocolates. $35,000 worth of chocolates, because the children wanted something to remind them it was Christmas.
Emma Loseley, we heard the Bishop, Dr. Michael Nazir Ali, talking about the extremists remaking the Middle East in their own image. Is that what you see happening?
Absolutely.
Andrew, can we let Professor Loseley answer that one, and then I'll come back to you if I may?
I think that's exactly what they're trying to do right now. But unfortunately, these extremists, for the most part, are not Syrian or Iraqi. There are definitely Syrians and Iraqis involved in this. But the most extreme jihadis are coming from elsewhere. And I think this is what is causing the most resentment amongst Syrians and Iraqis, that their countries are being used as a playground for extremist elements from other countries, many of them Western societies, and we seem to be washing our hands of responsibility here and not owning up to this.
And you have friends in Sulaymaniyah, in Iraq, who priests
right,
who are
yes.
sheltering Christians, as we speak.
Yes, an old friend of mine, Father Johanna, he has taken in 300 people, refugees from Mosul and the region around Mosul. He has 120 living with him in his monastic accommodation, and he's put up 180 in about five old houses he's managed to lease in the town. But this is a transitory arrangement. These people don't see their future there. They're not ethnically Kurdish. And although the Kurds are very welcoming, they're very hospitable, Kurdistan is a new country that's coming together for the Kurdish people. And obviously, the Christians don't feel they have a part of this future.
Let me ask you both, you first perhaps, Andrew, are we seeing the end of Christianity in the Middle East?
If you'd asked me that even a year ago, I would have said no, it will always be there. Now, I do not know. We are seeing Christianity disappear like I've never seen it. And the wonderful thing is that despite this tragedy, my team caring for the Christians is led by one of our doctors, Dr. Sarah Ahmed, and she's a Muslim. And she's not a Christian. And she's caring for the Christians. So we're not without hope. We have hope. But Kurdistan is actually a very difficult place for Iraqis. They say you don't speak our language. It is Iraq, but they have their own flag, their own government and their own language. So it's like a different country.
And Emma, how do you interpret it?
Well, I have a lot of information from my friends in Syria, and I also hear very inspiring stories about cooperation between Christians and Muslims. My friends are part of a religious community in central Syria, and they have taken in more internally displaced Muslims than they have Christians, and they have very good relations with the local mufti. But they too are now beginning to worry for the future, and they're big fear is for children and the young people, because it hasn't been reported widely in this country, but there have been a spate of bombs on schools, particularly primary schools, and many young children have been killed. The nephew of a very close friend was seriously injured and lucky to survive. He's 10. And they're saying now that many young friends, friends with children, are saying, we have to go because we can't see our children put at risk like this. And obviously, once you take the youth out of the community and you just leave the old people, then they will die. Yes, these Christian communities will die out completely.
What do you want to see, very briefly, if you would, please, what do you want to see the West do immediately?
Humanitarian aid, that's the first thing. Every person I speak to, every Syrian friend says, no guns, no money. We need medicine, we need food, we need tents. We also need help to get to the people who are actually displaced inside the country, not just those in the refugee camps in Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon and Turkey. But also, I feel the British government, the American government, Australian, whatever, they should actually take more responsibility in trying to stop people travelling there in the first place to make this whole situation even worse. If we could actually stem this flow of extremist fighters and leave the Syrians and the Iraqis to deal with their own problems, that's all they're asking of us. Leave them to sort out their problems in their own country.
Emma Loosely and Canon White, thank you both. I'm afraid we'll have to end it there. Thank you both very much indeed.